This morning, I invite you to open up your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, as we've been looking at Luke over the last few weeks, we've been looking at all the various Christmas songs that Luke includes in his gospel as he tells the story of Christ's birth. And now this morning, we look at the angels' song, the song the angels sang when they announced Christ's birth to the shepherds. Luke chapter 2, before we turn our attention to God's word, let's ask him for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we turn our attention to your word, please give us your spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking his word to us. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, the angels sang when Jesus came, and we've been singing ever since. And there's something glorious about the Christmas songs and hymns that we sing that explain Jesus becoming man. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Or he comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. Or radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. All of these songs shine with glory. And that makes sense because each of them echo the angels' song of glory. That song that was sang on the night when the most glorious thing in history happened. God took on human flesh, born as a baby, God becoming man. Glory came to earth. The glory of the Lord has been revealed. Now the opening two chapters of Luke, like we've seen, are full of songs. It's like we have three soloists singing up to this point, like in a Christmas program. You have Mary starting out the singing as she magnifies the Lord. 9 months later, Zechariah finally finds his voice and he begins to praise the Lord. He's now responding in praise. Simeon joins them. He's now ready to go home, leave in peace because he's seen the salvation of God. And now these three soloists, we add to that the heavenly choir of the angels, praising God and singing glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Could there be a more important song than the song the angel sang at the birth of the one who came as the hope of the world, Jesus Christ? Here the choir of angels are singing in response to Christ's birth, and their song covers it all. Two lines, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. It's a song glorifying God for the peace that is ours in Jesus Christ because of his birth. Our 2 points this morning as we look at this song are, first of all, God is glorious, and secondly, we have peace. And so first, God is glorious. Glory to God in the highest. Now as we think of glory, what do you think glory means? What does glory mean? Is there anything in your life that you would describe as glorious? Something that you would describe as glorious. Maybe you've seen a mountain range and in your mind you thought that it's majestic and glorious. Or you've seen a sunrise or a sunset and in your mind, glorious is the word to describe what you're seeing. Or maybe hearing Handel's Messiah or singing Handel's Messiah. Or maybe you think that the Christmas presents you have are glorious. That gaming system you've been dying to have, or the new clothes you can't wait to wear, or that brand new car in the driveway, maybe you think that's glorious. We need to keep in mind this morning that there is nothing more glorious than the coming of God to earth to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. That's glory. That's glorious. Verse 9 tells us that as the shepherds were out in the fields, the glory of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Here the shepherds are experiencing the glory of the Lord when the angel showed up and announced Jesus' birth, and he appears to them, and the glory of the Lord is shining all around them. And what is their response to the glory of the Lord shining around them? They were filled with great fear. They're terrified. They've experienced the revelation of God's glory and they respond in fear. Why is fear the response to the glory of the Lord? Because this isn't the first time it's happened. When the angel showed up to Mary and Zechariah, now the shepherds, the first thing that they, don't be afraid, do not fear not. What is glory? The shepherds in verse 20 say they had seen and heard this glory. So what they had seen, in one sense, God's glory means that bright light, that brilliance surrounding his presence. It's the light or the brilliance that surrounds God as he reveals himself in his creation. Psalm 24, the King of glory. Psalm 104, you are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment. And here, in our passage, we have the glory of the Lord shining around the shepherds as they hear the good news of great joy. The angel said, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. So what is glory? We can think of the brilliance in Revelation 21, the city, that heavenly city to come. It doesn't need a sun. It has no need for the sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. God's revelation of himself is accompanied by splendor and brightness. This glory of God is the visible manifestation of the excellence of God's character. And that greatness of God's being, that perfection of his attributes, it's something that we can never fully understand. But our response to that glory, that brilliance, is to glorify, to worship. And that's why it's appropriate that the response to this visible revealing of God's glory would be worship. The angels break forth in singing, glory to God in the highest, gloria in excelsis Deo, verse 14. This is what the shepherds heard. The angels sang the glory to God in the highest, not only because of the events which they sang, or which they just shared were glorious, but they're also singing because the one who had come, the one lying in a manger, was and is and forever will be the definition of glory. The angel sang of glory because glory had come to earth to rescue us from the inglory of our sin. And this is another meaning of glory, which means honor, excellent in reputation, praising God for who he is and what he's done. Romans 3 verse 23 tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And now the glory has come to earth, has been revealed in order to rescue us, to save us, to transform us, to glorify us, Jesus Christ. That's what the angels are singing about. Glory to God in the highest. It's about a glorious Savior coming to give glorious grace to people who have forsaken his glory. And in this way, the glory of God, or glorifying God, describes the highest honor that should be given to God by everything in all of creation. What's the chief end of man? What's the main reason that we're here? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. And we see the shepherds in verse 20 picking up on that message. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen as it had been and heard, as it had been told to them. So they're glorifying God for all that they had heard and all that they had seen, seeing the revealed glory and his brilliance and hearing his glory and the great things that he had done. The angels started this song, and God's people have been singing his glory ever since. Whenever and wherever we gather, we sing together of the birth and the life and the death, and the resurrection and the promise and the presence and the power and the grace of Jesus. Around the world, hearts lift and hope comes rushing in as these songs carry the precious truths of God's most wonderful gift to us, the gift of his Son. Is this song of glory the song that you are singing? Have you joined this choir? in singing glory to God. Because this song of God's glory doesn't end. When we jump forward all the way to the book of Revelation, we're given a picture of those who have passed over to their final and eternal home. And here we hear another song. And what do we hear them singing? We hear them singing God's glory. A great multitude in heaven crying out, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God." It's Revelation 19. Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give Him the glory. And so on into eternity, this song of glory to God echoes. It's a celebration song of those who are redeemed in Jesus Christ. And one day we're going to join that Revelation 19 multitude, and no longer looking forward, rather looking back at the fullness of our salvation and redemption accomplished in Jesus Christ, and sing God's glory with the angels and the saints of old, singing the glory of Jesus Christ. Glory to God in the highest. We sing glory to God because of the peace that is ours in Jesus Christ. And that's the second half of this song. We're not done singing yet. God is glorious, first of all. Secondly, we have peace. The angels are announcing peace, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. And peace on earth. And on earth peace to men, on whom His favor rests. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, God is walking through the garden. And instead of being filled with awe and joy at the thought of His presence, Adam and Eve are filled with fear because of God's presence. Or to say it like our passage, they are filled with great fear. They're terrified. They run and they hide. Adam and Eve were filled with fear. Instead of peace between God and man, there's fear. Now they had been created to live in relationship with God. To live in this moment by moment loving and worshipful communion with God, as Paul Tripp puts it. They were made to delight in God and He in them. They were created to live in an unbreakable bond of love with God. And so in this moment, what's going on? What is wrong? What's happened? The bond between God and us has been broken by sin. Fear has replaced love. Hiding has replaced communing. We were created to live in God's love, and now we're hiding from Him because of sin. And we have that mixed emotion of a hunger and a desire for God, that empty feeling, unless God is the one who's feeling it. And at the same time, a desire to hide from God because of sin. And now the angels come announcing peace. What is peace? What would it mean in your family if everyone lived in peace together? Sin means that we no longer live in peace with God. Sin has broken the most important relationship of all of life, our relationship, the relationship between us and our Creator. And this separation, this brokenness, alters everything in each of our lives. And that's why this song, this announcement, is so encouraging. It's an announcement of peace. And on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased. And on earth, peace to men on whom His favor rests. This peace refers to the full blessing that is ours because of Jesus Christ, because of the coming of the Messiah. Isaiah 9, verse 5, as we heard this morning, describes him as the Prince of Peace. Micah 5, verse 4, his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. Jesus comes to bring peace between God and man. That's the peace that the angels are singing about. When we as Christians talk about peace during Christmas time, we're not talking about the ending of wars and no more fighting or getting along type of peace, which would be great, but that's not the peace that we're mentioning here. The peace is about the ending of the war between mankind and God. Except that it's really not a war, as much as a broken relationship, an uncrossable chasm because of sin. Christ came bringing peace on earth, which means he came bringing salvation. And the result of that salvation, that peace in Christ, is the end of wars, peace on earth, no more strife, no more fighting, no more tears. Jesus came to live and die so that we would be able to enjoy peace with God both now and forever. The Prince of Peace has come. And through his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus makes peace between us and God. By his righteousness, he earns our acceptance with God and purchases our right to be God's children. The relationship destroyed in the garden all those years ago has been restored in Christ, our peace. Ephesians 2 verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace. Where are you at this morning when it comes to your relationship with your Heavenly Father? Because of Christ, we can run with confidence into God's presence and know that he will never turn us away. There's nothing more glorious than the coming of Christ to earth to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. To live and die so that we could enjoy peace with God, both now and forever. That's what we're singing about, not only in Christmas, but constantly singing about, from now into all of eternity. That night the angels began a song that would never end. God is glorious. We have peace. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we praise you. We thank you. We glorify you because of the peace that is ours in Jesus Christ. Glory to you, our God, in the highest. And on earth peace among those with whom you are pleased. Lord, help us to realize this peace found in Christ alone as we turn and place our faith in him, trusting in him for the salvation that we so desperately need. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.